Early last year, a man named Toby Neugebauer started working on an idea. The idea was to create a new kind of bank that would target a very specific kind of customer.
We didn't start the movement. You did. 100 million of you. Tired of the corporate elite telling you how to think? Woke companies denigrating this great country? Tired of big government?
This bank would be built by conservatives for conservatives.
Backing those that stand on the thin blue line, celebrating the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, all the amendments.
He called the company Glorify.
Welcome to Glorify, the marketplace for the movement.
And Glorify isn't the only business built for this movement.
There are a lot of people who think that there's going to be this whole conservative economy that springs up because our country is so divided.
That's our colleague Rachel Ensign.
There is like Truth Social and Rumble and social media sites that are trying to provide what they say is the anti-woke alternative to Twitter and YouTube. And I think people bought the idea that there's this new conservative economy forming and people feel so alienated from mainstream companies that they will move their money to show that.
Neugebauer's pitch worked. Not long after unveiling the idea, Glorify lined up about $50 million from investors and drew excitement from conservative politicians and celebrities. But Glorify has struggled to get off the ground. And over the weekend, Neugebauer stepped down as CEO, throwing the future of the company into question. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Tuesday, October 18th. Coming up on the show, how a new conservative bank could go broke.
This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Human achievement can be slow. 200,000 years to go from the wheel to your jalopy? Really? But today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply. When AI is everywhere, every process can be automated and accelerated. 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 UiPath, the AI everywhere foundation of innovation.
So, could you introduce us to Toby Neugebauer?
He's very, very wealthy. He has a lot of money, millions and millions of dollars. And he got his wealth in private equity and oil and gas investments. You know, he's a Texan. His dad was a longtime, very conservative Texas congressman who is no longer in office.
Rachel had a chance to interview Neugebauer in August.
He's very charismatic. You know, in the course of our interview, he talked very passionately about Glorify. He talks a lot. He dominates a conversation. He cried, actually, at one point.
He cried?
He did cry. He was talking about challenges at Glorify and that he loved the company so much and it was a child of his. And he, you know, when you meet him, you get a sense of how people are really drawn in by him to this idea of this vision, this dream of this bank, though he does not actually have any experience in financial services, which is an extremely technical area.
To build Glorify, Neugebauer teamed up with Nick Ayers, the former chief of staff of Vice President Mike Pence. Neugebauer says mainstream banks like Bank of America or Citigroup have become too left-leaning and liberal with their banking policies. One example of this is how some banks have been promoting companies that care about the environment and social causes, a practice commonly known as ESG.
A lot of them cut ties with private prisons a few years ago. Some banks have prohibitions on doing business with certain coal companies and certain energy companies. Guns were a big topic a few years ago. Some banks cut ties with gun companies and wouldn't lend to gun manufacturers anymore.
Politicians in states like West Virginia and Texas have pushed back on some Wall Street firms for their ESG policies. They've accused those firms of effectively boycotting fossil fuel companies, some of which their local economies rely on. It's a sentiment echoed by many conservatives, and Glorify wanted to position itself as their go-to bank.
The pitch is that there is this huge group of people that is really turned off by traditional banks. It's plumbers, electricians, police officers. They, in the same way that they were so turned off by the establishment that many of them elected Trump in 2016, they are so turned off by banks that if they had an option that marketed to them, offered products for them, and catered to them, this would be extremely successful. I mean, one thing Toby often says is that he thinks his potential market is like 100 million people.
Neugebauer took this pitch to a roster of well-known conservative investors, from former Republican Senator Kelly Loeffler to early Facebook investor Peter Thiel and hedge fund executive Ken Griffin. And it was successful. Glorify raised about $50 million in the initial fundraising round last year.
It was a really big name group of investors, and it really reflected the fact that Toby Neugebauer and his co-founder, Nick Ayers, were extremely well-connected in conservative circles.
Former Vice President Mike Pence made a supportive appearance on an all-staff call. Texas Governor Greg Abbott visited Neugebauer's home. And Senator Ted Cruz shared a video sponsored by Glorify on Twitter. Glorify also took center stage at an event in August for the Conservative Political Action Conference. Here's Neugebauer at the event.
My viewpoint on this is it's time for the conservatives to deliver better products than the people who hate us, okay?
These better products included all kinds of conservative spins on traditional banking.
They wanted to have a credit card that was made of the same material as shell casings. And that was obviously an appeal to folks who are very big Second Amendment supporters. But they were told that logistically it was just not going to be possible.
This idea, making credit cards from bullets, didn't work because the company realized the material could interfere with security chips and potentially be too thick for payment terminals. They also planned a rewards program where customers could donate some of those rewards to a charity for veterans and first responders. And then there was Glorify's flagship product.
And their insurance product was pretty unique. You know, they wanted to have an insurance policy that offered 10% off if you said that you were a responsible gun owner, and also provided some coverage for if someone came into your home and you shot them. Like, and you know, you had legal costs incurred because of that.
Sorry. So if someone came into your home and you shot them, Glorify would cover the legal expenses?
Yeah. So they were just coming up with these products they thought would appeal to their audience and, you know, hoping to roll them out by building the, like, logistics and technology behind it, which was really the hardest part.
The company was hiring people and spending on all the things it would need to get off the ground. Lawyers, consultants, software vendors. And an official launch date was set for April 1st.
And they were just spending a lot in order to meet this very, very tight deadline.
How many people did they hire?
So as of March, they had about 100 people in-house, but that doesn't count the outside vendors and consultants. And they had plans to more than double that by May.
The time timeline was ambitious. And it would be especially difficult because behind the scenes, Glorify was starting to unravel. That's coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Glorify was planning to launch on April 1st this year. But as that date drew closer, investors heard from Neugebauer. He had news. The money Glorify had raised, the $50 million, it was nearly gone.
I mean, if you look at these decks for the vendors, even just the vendors alone that they had to bring in to try to stand up this company, it's lots of vendors that are not cheap.
A lot of the money went to technology vendors that were supposed to help set up Glorify's websites and its mobile app. But in the last few months, the company was sued by one of those vendors for allegedly not keeping up with invoices and fees. Glorify admitted it didn't pay certain invoices and accused the vendor of fraud in a separate claim. Glorify's legal problems drew attention to how Neugebauer was running the company. The company's operations weren't exactly standard. They were largely run out of Neugebauer's house.
Toby's home is quite a home. It is 16,000 square feet. It's in Dallas. It is modeled after the White House. And it's just this, like, palatial home.
Rachel says dozens of employees and executives were working out of the Neugebauer residence. Those who didn't live in Dallas would routinely fly in to work from his home, and would often live and sleep there, too. The company said Neugebauer used the house because he wanted his executive leadership team to collaborate closely.
These guys think about themselves as, like, Apple, like the new Apple. You know, they're like, well, it's not weird. You know, it's not, we're just scrappy startup, just like those scrappy startups were at one time. So that's the mindset that they approach this with.
But Neugebauer's work from his home approach had its own problems. Rachel says he worked odd hours, at times up to 17-hour days. And those long days, employees said they could get uncomfortable.
There were also people who didn't really think it was an appropriate work environment, in particular because they allege that Toby was drinking a lot. And, you know, that created a difficult environment, you know, when you're trapped in his house with him as your workplace. The head of human resources put together a memo that detailed some of these issues. You know, she outlined a time that she saw Toby yelling at people, a late meeting where Toby was visibly drunk. She had been told by people who work at Toby's house, you know, be sure you leave by 6. After 5 o'clock, Toby, he starts drinking and things at the house deteriorate quickly.
When asked about his alleged drinking, Neugebauer said, quote, "The attacks on what I do in my home after 5 p.m. are beneath the WSJ." As for the yelling, a Glorify executive said employees fight all the time and that it was not inappropriate. Glorify's current head of HR said there haven't been any employee complaints since June. When did investors sort of realize that this was maybe coming off the rails?
Well, I think when he goes back to them for more money in the early spring, he is coming back to investors because, you know, the company has largely spent that initial investment money on the mad rush to meet this April 1st date, which is not going to happen, they already know. And he needs more money. He says if he doesn't have it, the company will go bankrupt.
Glorify's big-name investors declined to give Neugebauer any more money because they were concerned about the job he was doing.
We have an email in the story from one of the investors, Rick Jackson, who's in Atlanta, healthcare entrepreneur. And, you know, Rick writes in response to Toby, "You guys are moving very fast and loose and taking your investors for granted. I think you're trying to go into too many areas at once. It's impairing your execution." So Toby's out there looking for more money from these investors already. And at the end of the day, they just say no to him.
Glorify Investors and the company's co-founder, Nick Ayers, had lost confidence in Neugebauer's leadership, and they were pushing to remove him as CEO.
Toby kind of came to believe that his former business partner, Nick Ayers, and the investors wanted to steal Glorify from him. And he developed this point of view that, you know, I have this amazing idea and they just want to take it from me. And that's why they want me out. And that's why they are not funding me and all of this.
Instead of declaring bankruptcy, Neugebauer decided to put up $10 million of his own money to keep the company running. He also moved to get Ayers off of the board, effectively pushing his co-founder out of the company. Glorify missed its April launch date. The app launched in September. And this weekend, Neugebauer announced that he was resigning from his position as Glorify's CEO. He will stay with the company as executive chairman. The company said it plans to name an interim CEO soon. So where do you think we are in the Glorify story? Just at the beginning or closer to the end?
I think they would say just at the beginning. They say Glorify is going to be as big as, you know, B of A and all of that. But, you know, I think they really need money. So they're trying to make it work still. I think it remains to be seen whether it will work out or not. You know, they do have a product out there. They're going to need people to adopt it. Whether they are able to become the company that they claim will offer products to millions of people really remains to be seen.
That's all for today, Tuesday, October 18th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Peter Rudiger and Anna Maria Andriotis. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.